Today on the program, we welcome the members of the Quincy LGBTQ Plus Commission to talk a little bit about that organization and also about Quincy Pride. So we're meeting for the first time the chairman of the commission, Jim Pitoza, along with John McDonald, and of course, you know, Councillor Nina Liang. Welcome to all of you. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is neat. This is great. I know, Jim, you and I have not yet met, but you are the chairman of the LGBTQ Plus Commission.
For the last year and a half, I've been happy to serve as chair. With Nina working on the city council and John working on the city as kind of the citizen representative on the commission. They asked me to serve as chair, which I'm happy to do.
So tell us about yourself, first of all, before we talk about the commission.
I'm a recently retired professor from Boston University, where I served as director of the School of Theater there for 20 years. Been a resident of Quincy since 2002. Have loved being a resident of
just
the
a
city.
Newcomer.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's how you feel, which is fascinating. But one thing, as a person who grew up in New Jersey in the New York vicinity, spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C., it was interesting coming to Quincy and seeing very little representation for the LGBTQ community in kind of the fabric of the city. Mm-hmm. So when the commission got started and I was approached to serve on the commission, I thought this is an important thing to do. And what we have found is we have connected with members of our community. There is a need for it, a profound need for it, a hunger for it, and the response has been really great. You know, so we know we exist for a reason, and fulfilling that purpose is really quite rewarding.
Yeah. Who is the commission? Who are the members? What do they do?
Right now, the three of us are the totality of the commission, and one of our functions is to grow our numbers in the commission.
Okay.
But it's taken a few years to figure out what does a commission do? Mm. How does it function? I want to let Nina and John speak to the early days of the commission because that story unfolds and it's quite interesting.
Great. Okay. Nina, if you could,
I would love to.
History lesson from Nina Liang.
Right. I love it. And, you know, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to talk specifically about this because you and I have met so much over, you know, now 8 years.
That's right.
And this has been, you know, a point of pride for me, I think, in the 7 years of those eight, right? And so we've always sort of talked a little bit about it, so now to have the space to, like, dive deep into it, I'm really excited to do so. But to Jim's point, you know, there was a need in the community well before I ever joined the council. You know, there were members of the community, I think, you know, that were advocating for this need and trying to find ways to, you know, find real concrete, actionable ways that the city can then service this community, right? And I think, you know, we weren't able to really nail down what that looked like. And when I joined the council, you know, a number of people in that community came and said, you know, well, we have a need, we don't feel represented, and we want to have a voice, right? And so we were all trying to get creative on ways that we can actually execute that in a real tangible way. And at the local level and at the state level, they had these commissions made up of volunteer members of the community that come together and advise on any particular matter, right? So for example, in Quincy, the very well-known, very effective Bicycle Commission, taking a page out of their playbook. Okay. Here's a group of members in the community who are passionate about bicycle safety across the city here, right? And then I think that also, you know, taps into pedestrian safety as well, but they meet as a volunteer group of residents in the city. They come up with really good ideas, they come up with actionable items, right, to make improvements to support this community across the city. And then they work within local government to make those things happen. So I thought, if this works, right, don't break it, just replicate it, right? And so that's what I wanted to do in creating the LGBTQ Plus Commission. And I do have to shout out Frank Rubino and Garrett Nichols because they were the ones from day one that sat down and said, okay, we're working with a blank slate. We have a concept that works. But as far as actually writing the purpose of the commission and who we want to serve and what that looks like, right, like the organizational work behind it, they were really the people behind making it possible. So they drafted the ordinance. We introduced it to the council in late 2018, went to committee, and then it passed, and here we are. But, you know, it didn't really start until 2019 because it passed at the end of 2018. So, you know, 2019 was when we were officially established out into the world, right, in Quincy. And so it really became a matter of, okay, now we need to find the people to come and fill these roles, right, and be on the commission. So 2019 was really about building out what volunteers can we grab in the community to come and support this work, right? And I think we had a great start. We were really excited. And then 2020 hit, right? Yeah.
Something happened.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. It was really strange.
4 years ago now.
Yeah. I know.
It's crazy.
It's been 4 years. Yeah. We need to have a different segment about that. But I think that was definitely, it took the wind out of our sails a little bit, understandably. But then after that, you know, probably about a year or two after that, we recouped and really just said, you know, where are we all mentally, right? And what's our capacity? And we are still really focused on this mission, but we need to understand too that things have changed, right? And so how do we, again, build something and also do so when there are so many unknowns happening? And so it took a couple of years, I think, for us to regroup and figure out what that looked like. Mm. And then in the end of 2022, I believe it was, we did this town hall. 50 plus people came together. We just asked, we were like, come help inform our work, right? We need support, we need people, we need ideas, we need you to tell us what you need.
Yeah.
And 50 plus people came out on a night during the week and just did this live brainstorm session. Wow. And since then, I think it's just been gangbusters with our work. I'm so excited, I'm so proud of what we've accomplished from that meeting. I'd love John and Jim to elaborate on that because they're really the ones, I think, that have led the community members to be effective in getting that done.
Sure. But, well, John, you're also a special events coordinator for the city.
Correct. Right, and I'm on the Pride Committee as well.
Right, so, which launched from this commission, right? Or did it come before?
Pride, I think, had started maybe simultaneously.
Okay.
And so with Pride, it's an event kind of organization, and there's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of great things that happen, and that's my wheelhouse. I mean, I love event planning. But when I was asked by the mayor to be on this commission, it was about policies, and it's about, you know, connecting the dots in the community, and it was a little bit different, and that's what intrigued me to get involved, because it was, I'm all for the fun. I'm all for a good time and enjoy event planning. But I also wanted to learn more about what a commission is, why we are together. It's not just another group of people that have a title. Yeah. It's a working group of people. And, you know, we come at things from different, you know, points of view, which is really encouraging. And I loved the back and forth and the suggestions that come from this group. And again, not to say that we can't have our events that are also fun and partnering with Pride and other groups in the community, but I think that it serves a purpose that was, as Jim indicated at the very beginning, that was missing for a very long time in our community. Hmm. I'm not sure, I've lived in many other parts of the country, I'm not sure I would join a commission like this because I feel as though perhaps it has a different energy, but in Quincy, it was embraced. Hmm. People wanted it, people needed it, and there's just a great feeling that comes from those meetings. I never leave a meeting saying, oh, that was boring. There's always something. There's always this engagement, and there's always a question, and there's always something that pushes you forward and has you thinking a little differently because somebody else, you know, gives you an idea as to, well, that's not really how we should approach this. What if we approach it this way? So that engagement I love.
Okay,
I
so
love
there that. Are regular meetings then.
Yes.
You're talking about meetings, so where and when do those happen? So Jim, maybe that's your wheelhouse.
Yeah, we try to meet monthly.
Okay.
As a commission. But we also do a lot of outreach meetings. Nina was talking about the town hall.
Yes, yeah.
We have subsets of the town hall, too, based on areas of interest that come out of the town hall. But the commission itself moved from the theoretical into action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now we're all about what are we doing, mm-hmm. not how do we feel about, what do we think. You can spend a lot of time talking, and what we've realized is, no, we need to act.
Okay.
And that our constituency needs us to act because they do feel marginalized, mm. and there is a need for people to feel visible. Visibility is a huge part of this community because in many ways they feel invisible.
Yeah.
The very first town hall meeting, the biggest need that came out of the 50 plus people who attended came not from LGBTQ people themselves, but by parents of adolescents who were realizing that they had a sexual orientation that was perhaps not what they expected it to be. And parents felt like they didn't know how to support their kids. And they loved it. It wasn't a question of they didn't love their kids.
Certainly, yeah.
They loved their kids, and yeah. they felt like they did not know how to best help them. So we look around, we realize the city of Quincy does not have what nationally has been an organization to support that very thing, which is PFLAG. Mm-hmm. PFLAG is a very well-known, mm-hmm. well-respected organization now celebrating almost 50 years wow. of existence. Quincy didn't have one.
Right.
We do now.
Okay.
And we do now because the commission made it a priority.
Okay.
PFLAG now meets every month on the second Wednesday of the month at a great partner we have in the United First Parish Church,
oh, okay.
which provides us with a centrally located, safe space for our meetings, for our PFLAG sessions, our commission meet, you know, whatever we need, mm-hmm. they provide us with that resource, which is a huge part of their mission and great to have in the center of the city,
yes,
you know?
Yeah.
So slowly but surely, we're moving through these questions of visibility and action. And the commission is finding a robust reason to be as a result.
So for parents watching, Jim, how do they find out about PFLAG? And
the best way, because there's a degree of confidentiality that needs to be maintained
okay.
to promote comfort for parents and their kids or
sure.
their friends or whatever the allies are, the best way is to approach us through our email at lgbtqcommission@quincyma.gov.
Okay.
Write us there, we'll get you on the list, and then you will receive monthly newsletters giving you updates as to when and where people are meeting
okay.
and how to connect. Also, we're on Facebook, so City of Quincy LGBTQ Plus Commission has a Facebook page, and you can easily, through chat, connect with us with ease, and
okay.
we're very responsive to it.
Okay. Now, Nina, I guess there was another town hall just recently, right, this year,
yes.
2024.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, so because the one that we had at the end of 2022 informed all of the work that we were able to execute in 2023, right? And again, to great success, I think. These two spearheaded, you know, really cultivating these parents space to come together and create Quincy PFLAG, which mm-hmm. was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of events that we held throughout the year as well. That was, you know, some of the asks that came from that town hall were opportunities to gather and support different even groups within this community, mm-hmm. right? And so I'd love for the two of you to elaborate on those. But, you know, that was 2023,
yeah.
so we're in 2024.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What does the community want from us this year that we haven't done, right? And so we convened another town hall, and from that meeting came a number of suggestions, but you know, we found, I think, three is our sweet spot.
Yeah.
I think capacity-wise,
yeah.
with not just us, but the volunteers in the community who come to work on any particular topic, I think three is a sweet spot for us right
mm-hmm.
now.
Okay.
So there are three topics that came out of that that we're going to move forward with to inform our work this year. So this, I think, conversation is very timely because we are going to be approaching the first of those three meetings on March 20th. And again, United First Parish is hosting all three of these meetings for us, which thank goodness for them because the space is incredible. And again, it being, I think, centrally located right in the heart of mm-hmm. the city says so much, right? And so all three meetings are going to be there.
Okay.
But yeah, the first is on March 20th and that's going to be Rainbow Pages. And again, I think all three of us, I think, have a special place in our heart for any particular topic that if you wanted to dive into, we could. The second is going to be conversations with, and then the third is going to be an arts festival, specifically an LGBTQ plus arts festival.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. and all at the church.
Well, all the meetings will be at the church,
okay.
yes.
All
and
right.
then members in the community who are interested in any one of those three topics are encouraged to come and participate to be part of that work and hopefully join the commission if they're interested in doing that as well.
Okay, is mm-hmm. outreach something that you're trying to work on, you know,
always,
to increase?
Yeah. Always, okay. We have a robust email list of people who are engaged with us. It's honestly, it started with maybe 50, 75, 100 people. We're about 300
wow.
plus people now
okay.
on the email list. And so, you know, we're encouraging people when they get our emails mm. to then share that email out. And I manage the email address. It comes from us, we're not spamming people,
okay.
right? It's real live people behind the Facebook group and the email address. But every time I send an email blast, we get responses back, you know, from some person who maybe got it as a forwarded email,
mm-hmm.
says, you know, hey, I wasn't on the email list. Can you add me? I mm-hmm. want to be included in this conversation. We have people outside of Quincy who come from other South Shore towns who got the email list, right? And so, yes, we're doing great outreach, and we always need more.
Okay.
There's you know, so many people in this community, not just in Quincy, right, that if we can be this resource, and it's working, and it's working, this formula we have, we want more people engaged to not just inform our work, but in a realistic sense, there's only three of us. We need them to be a part of the work, right? We cannot be successful if it's just the three of us. So yes, 100% on the outreach, which again, I think is why we're so excited about this opportunity to talk to you, because a lot of people tune into QATV. And so anybody out there, if you're interested, please come and join us.
Use us, Nina.
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. So PFLAG was one concrete example of what came out of the commission. Mm-hmm. What else?
One thing coming up that also connects with your idea of outreach is as Pride Month approaches, I'll ask John to talk more about the festival itself. But this week, the almost a happy accident of the calendar, we have traditionally begun Pride Month, which is the full month of June, on June 1st with a raising of a large Progress Pride flag on the front of United First Parish Church. And we do it in a ceremonial fashion, and we've had 200 to 300 people come to see that flag unveiled, and we've had speakers, and it's become a tradition for the city to have that flag proudly displayed in the center of the Commons, which is a big, important deal, and certainly makes our constituency feel represented, important, and celebrated.
Okay.
You know, so we're doing that again, 6 o'clock, June 1st, and it happens to be the eve of this year's Pride Festival, which is the very next day.
Ah, okay.
And in the morning, UFPC will be doing an interfaith service at 10:30, which will involve kind of a spiritual program to begin the day. And then the commission and Quincy PFLAG will conduct a celebratory walk from the church to Kilroy Square, where the festival, Q Pride Festival, will take place.
Okay.
John serves on that program, so I'd like to ask him to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of events.
Events, yeah. So that happens noon till 5 p.m.
June 2nd.
June 2nd on Kilroy. We wanted to go back to Pageant. We've been at Pageant for many years, but it turns out that Pageant Field is booked solid, so we couldn't get the date we wanted. We didn't want to change the date.
Okay.
So we are back at Kilroy. Unfortunately, it rained last year.
I know.
And it was really frustrating for many people, but it was really a electricity and rain don't match.
Correct.
So
yes.
There were lots of issues with that, so we had to unfortunately cancel.
Yeah.
But we're kind of replicating what we were planning for last year as much as we can, but then we're bringing new ideas in as well, so that it's, you know, it's family oriented, so it's and it's we could get 2,000-4,000 people at this event, and there are vendors that come, traditional vendors that follow our Pride organization, and they're always there. But then we attract other new vendors as well, and we have the food trucks, and we have all sorts of performance art. And it's really a fun day. I mean, by the time 5 o'clock comes, I'm like, where did the time go?
Exactly.
It's already done. But it's fast paced. But you can feel comfortable. There's tables and chairs. You can have something to eat, watch a little bit of a show, you know, purchase an item here or there. And it's right in downtown. So, you know, the committee, the Pride Committee, we've gone back and forth on should we be at Pageant, should we be at Kilroy. And I'm an advocate for Kilroy for one main reason. It's right at the red line. Literally, you walk up the street and you're there, whereas a little more not as easy to get to Pageant right off the tee. So that's for me one thing that works well. It is a smaller footprint, but you're kind of together in a different way. You're not as spread out as you are at the Pageant Field. But we're excited this year because we are going rain or shine.
You heard it here first.
We are not canceling this event. And much like the events I do for the mayor's office on the Common, I think there were 9 events last year and 6 or 7 had to be canceled because
it
of
was
rain.
Tough, yeah.
So it's terrible. It's you know, but just for your viewership, when you know people say, well, why don't you have a rain date? Well, you can't ask talent and sound people and stage people to give you 2 dates because you're taking away from their businesses where they could get other bookings. So it sounds simple, let's have a rain date. That really doesn't work.
No, the city run into the same problem with the big parades.
Yes.
You know, if they can't do it that day, then if they do delay it, it's going to be greatly reduced.
Yeah, and you remember, you had the whole thing set up for the Pops concert.
Yes,
all of you were out there, and it was amazing, and then the skies opened,
yes.
And we had, what was it, 70-piece orchestra, 70 singers, all of the equipment, and then boom, the skies opened.
Oh, it was a torrent with lightning and thunder and everything. Yeah.
So that's not happening this year.
Okay.
Yeah, you did hear it here first.
Well, and to pick up on that, which I think is so important and vital that Q Pride does, I remember attending Pride festivals back in the 70s in New York when they were new. And we cannot lose sight of the fact that it is about visibility of this community, that this community dares to step out and say, we are here and we're happy. We are happy people who are happy to celebrate who we are, rain or shine. So you don't take an LGBTQ community and worry about some rain. We can handle it.
Well, and what comes after the rain, right, James?
Exactly.
Rainbows.
That was a very good one.
That's very true.
That was very good.
So we've got an important moment in this, and we live in a time where none of these fights for freedom stay won. Mm. And we are living in a time that is very challenging, and there's more legislation seeking to roll back victories that this community has worked relentlessly over half a century to win, and we're seeing those being now fought to have them rolled back. That cannot be.
Yeah.
And we have to exist to make sure that this community is taken care of.
We still have a little bit of time. Let's dive into some of the events that are coming up, if we can, a little bit deeper. March 20th, Nina, as you mentioned, 6 p.m., Rainbow Pages. So what is that?
Rainbow Pages is a very simple idea. People of a certain age will remember the Yellow Pages.
Sure.
Rainbow Pages.
I used to remember the Yellow
sit
pages.
On them. To, you know,
exactly.
Push myself up, yeah.
Exactly. The Rainbow Pages is a way for people to identify not only social services, mental health services, physical health services, but also plumbers, electricians, restaurants, people who identify as being LGBTQ friendly.
Okay.
You know, so if I'm a homeowner in a town and I need to bring in a plumber, and who do I call? Who am I going to have in my home? Mm. Who's going to see picture, you know, family photos of my husband and I, you know, who's going to be comfortable with that? Who am I going to become? I can go to the Rainbow Pages and find a company that says we are LGBTQ friendly, and then I don't have to worry.
So this is an actual publication?
That's what we are working to create. It'll be an online publication, because fortunately we don't have to print anything anymore, but it'll be a resource that is available online where you're looking for a doctor. You're looking for a healthcare provider. You're looking for a mental health care provider, a therapist, an electrician, a yard services person.
Okay.
You know, so we're really doing a huge canvassing outreach to the business community and service providers to create this Quincy Rainbow Pages.
Okay.
So it's very exciting.
You seem excited about it, Jim.
I am.
April 3rd at 6 p.m., Conversations With, in quotes, a speaker series?
Yes. Okay. So again, you know, this is all sort of a summary of many, many larger, I think, conversations that came from members of the community. But this one specifically is about people just wanting to hear from other members, particularly this one, was about law enforcement, right? It's just being able to have a presence at this meeting and have representation from first responders and law enforcement to answer any one-off questions or hypothetical questions, maybe if people aren't comfortable sharing their personal story. It just builds a networking, a sort of community opportunity to come together and have like a speaker series, right? And just hear from people who hold these positions. And I'm so grateful because, you know, Sheriff McDermott's office, the chief of police here, they've already said, you know, just give us the date and time and we're ready to come and speak to anybody in the community. So now it's just a matter of this meeting in April, the planning meeting, to figure out what that looks like.
Oh,
and so folks are interested in helping to coordinate essentially a panel, right, of first responders to speak to the community. We just need the support. Just figuring out, you know, when is a good time, where can we host it, hopefully at the church, how are we going to market it. And so that's what the April 3rd meeting is going to be for.
Again, so it's a planning meeting.
It's a planning meeting. It's not going to be the first conversations with itself. Gotcha. Okay. It's going to be people coming together to plan that first one. Yeah, okay. But that's the notion behind this. And it could be a speaker series about anything and everything, right? But we wanted to start with addressing a need that was brought to us, which is engaging with first responders, right? And so it's not just police, but also fire with Brewster Ambulance, right? We're talking about people who, again, are coming into your home in case of an emergency, or if you're driving down the road, God forbid you get into a car accident, right? Like any kind of engagement with first responders, there was a need within these meetings that people were asking for, hey, how do we connect with those folks? How can we engage with them? How do we get to know them? And I think this will be a real raw, honest conversation with people that I think could be really informative.
Okay. Something that's intriguing to me too is April 17th at 6 p.m., the LGBTQ plus Arts Festival. So specifically highlighting artists in this community?
In the community, yeah.
Okay.
Who perhaps, you know, would like to show their work, you know, in a collective way with other members of the LGBTQ plus community. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, we might be able to partner with the Quincy Art Association.
Certainly,
we certainly will reach out to them and see how they can move us forward. Certainly, they've been around for 50, 60, 70 years, so they know what they're doing.
Yes.
But there are a lot of artists in the community who maybe don't feel, as we've said many times today, seen. And their art, because if they don't feel they're seen, then perhaps their art isn't as well. Mm. So it's a, and I like that you keep repeating this, we're meeting to discuss the concept and what it would look like and where it should be held and how it would be put together. So it's a planning session.
Okay.
And as an arts festival, it seeks to be comprehensive. So we'd like to see visual art and performance art. So there will be music, fine art, written with spoken word, theater, dance, the full, even film, the full spectrum of artistic communication. And not only, as John said, to give the artists a platform to share their work, but what's more, I think, so powerful is when an audience sees their stories reflected
depicted in
artistic work. Yeah. Yeah. That's where it really happens. Oh, that's about me.
Right.
That, you know, you don't have to intuit or infer. It is about you.
Sure.
And then we've done something.
Sure. Nita, did you ever think, you grew up in Quincy, did you ever think you'd see the city come to this point of acceptance of this community?
Such a hard question to answer, because I don't know that I ever thought about it until, frankly, I was in my early 20s when my, you know, my sibling came out as trans. You know, it's just, it wasn't something that I think impacted me directly. And unfortunately, because of that, it's out of sight, out of mind, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm always going to be honest with you in admitting that. And so, but when my sibling came out as trans, the first thing they said was, I'm leaving Quincy though, because I don't feel like I'll be accepted here. And that to me was when it was like, whoa, this is, now, I mean, that was 10, 12 years ago, and we've come such a long way. But to Jim's point, we still have such a long way to go. Mm. I mean, you know, we're talking just 1 year's worth of work, and it's just maybe the tiniest drop in the bucket, right? We need to do so much more, I think, to have it be a standing impact that will outlive all of us, right? It will hopefully be something that just is, you know? We don't have to convene these large meetings to say, you are heard, so let's put this in the front of our brain. It should just be something that just exists. Mm-hmm. These resources should just be there. People shouldn't be afraid to look for these resources even, right? Like, it shouldn't be siloed that you need a commission just to focus on preventing this oppression from happening. I mean, a long-term goal is that we don't even need to exist as a commission,
right?
So, that is the goal.
It's, I guess, I should say, you know, sort of more shortly, briefly, yes and, right? Yes, this is incredible. Yes, this is great progress. And I hope one day that we don't even have to exist. And until we get to that point, our work is far from over. And so these three meetings that are coming up, I really want to just reiterate that they are planning meetings, right? They are planning meetings where we need people to come and help plan these three initiatives, because if we don't have that support, these initiatives won't get done. And if people can come support these three initiatives and then turn around and say, I actually want to be part of the full commission.
Yeah.
I want to be part of, you know, the sort of full conversation. Fantastic, right?
Sure.
Let's continue to build that out, because the more people we have, it's not three initiatives per year, it's six, it's 12, right? And again, I think, you know, to that end, the work can get done faster. Hopefully the impact will be longer and wider. I mean, we had people, again, outside of Quincy come to these meetings. Mm-hmm. That just goes to show you, if we did just three events in one calendar year, and we are reaching people outside of Quincy, can you imagine if we had the, you know, the people power to do 12 events? My gosh, we'd be reaching people hopefully across the state, right? And so, big dreams.
Okay, but two things that definitely are happening, though, is June 1st, the flag raising outside
Absolutely.
Of the church.
Absolutely, 6 o'clock.
Six o'clock,
yeah.
And then the following day, Quincy Pride.
Right? Exactly.
And the flag is up all month.
It's yeah, it's there up the entire,
month, which I think visibly is really important.
Very powerful.
For the whole entire month of June to see that flag flying. And it's huge. Mm-hmm. It's really beautiful.
Email lgbtqcommission@quincyma.gov. Also on Facebook, a good
Correct.
Place to get more information. Jimmy, wanted to add something?
The only thing I do want to add is 20 years ago, I don't know if this conversation right. that we're having on QATV would have ever happened. Mm. So this is the work. And I want to thank you for having us and hosting us and making us feel very at home and comfortable talking about these issues. This is a sign of our progress. Thank you.
Well, we're happy to do it. Thank you. And thank you all for coming over today. And please come back.
Thanks for having
Thanks,
us.
Jeff.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.